Gallatin Valley. You're listening to Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Nurse Nancy. Today, we're hearing about how things have been going at Montana State University, both during the shutdown last spring and now that students are back on campus for the fall semester. We'll be talking with Nina Mondre-Schweppe about teaching online and about how the Center for Faculty Excellence has been helping faculty and instructors do that. We'll also hear from some students about how the new normal is playing out for them. Now we'll start by hearing from Jan Zuha about a special collection on COVID-19 documenting the MSU experience. Jan is the Humanities and Outreach Librarian in Archives and Special Collections at the MSU Library. She focuses on working with students and faculty in history, literature, American studies, and women's gender and sexuality studies. One of her previous big projects was bringing the Ivan Doig Archive into the community through book discussions, a fair exhibit, and other public events. She's won numerous awards for her service, including the Humanities Hero Award from Humanities Montana and the Cornerstone Award from the Bozeman Public Library. Jan, could you please start by telling us how the idea for a COVID archive came about?
Well, I have some great faculty friends in the departments that I work with, and one of them, Dr. Kirk Branch, who teaches writing classes, came to me and said, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could possibly gather some feedback from students about how things are going during this time and maybe even figure out how to get those into the archive for future students? And we were just talking about his class, and then his writing 326 class, and then it sort of grew to include over 21 courses and about, 15 or so faculty members who picked up on the idea as a way to transfer their students' work at the end of the semester toward some kind of helpful reflection on what they were going through. I want to thank and recognize that at the time that we started this this archive, we had a young woman working with us named Natalie Bond, who is an archivist who was on a temporary assignment with us. And Natalie contributed tremendously to the start of this archive, and she was a great person to work with on this.
Well, so I saw on the website that you were looking for people to submit information on all kinds of daily life themes during COVID. So what kinds of themes have you been seeing?
Well, you know, you would expect to get things about loneliness, isolation, and of course, those things are there. The strangeness of living alone, of not being able to go places, new relationships with food, students taking much more care with cooking and selecting food and sharing it with their roommates with whom they are now quarantined, if they're lucky. Some of them are absolutely alone because their roommates have gone away. So some of the professors had students keep diaries of this kind of daily change that they were facing, loss of employment, that sort of thing, canceled travel plans. You know, we all remember being students and looking forward to a spring break trip wherever, you know, somewhere exotic or somewhere mundane, but that was our really, you know, that was our passion. And these students had to cut those things short generally. And that is reflected. There are some quite negative aspects too, increased instances of depression, of reported increased intake of alcohol, students saying, I know I shouldn't drink this much, but this is how I am dealing with this.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of resilience though. We have students that rise to the occasion in creative ways. One woman talks about buying seeds and being determined to grow her own vegetables for the first time. And unfortunately, she lets them freeze because, I mean, this is April that we're talking about.
Right.
But then she's determined to replant those and move on, you know. And then I have another student in Mary Murphy's Gender in America history course who is writing about living with a female roommate for the first time and how he learns to be different in his living, and also learns that she has an abusive partner at this time, and he's trying to be supportive and protective And then at the same time, he starts a community project to take photographs of people, families on their porches, asking them to give contributions to the local food bank in return. And he raises something like $15,000 by May. So you've got these amazing students who are really trying some different things. And those journals, those diaries, those pieces, those essays are really heartening to read.
Well, so is you've been talking about journals, but so what kind of mediums can you accept things in? Do you take photographs, paintings, artifacts?
Yes, we take everything. Well, artifacts, no. We have okay. It has to be able to be digitized. So that said, if you had an artifact that you wanted to photograph, we okay. could accept a digital photograph and certainly, you know, an explanation of why this is an important object during this time. But we have artworks. We have people writing essays and inserting photographs or using photographs in their journals. And those add a lot of really great specificity.
Okay. Well, could you just take a few minutes to just describe in a little more detail some of the submissions?
Well, I'd be happy to read you a couple of things.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So, for instance, there is one young woman writing in her journal in History 408, Gender in America. She's writing on April 16th, 2020, quarantine, self-distancing, social isolation, whatever you want to call it, it sucks. It's really starting to take a toll on me. All of my roommates are still gone, and no one seems like they're coming back to Bozeman anytime soon. I literally just sat on the phone crying with my mom tonight because this is just getting really depressing to be here. She feels bad and wants to come visit and keep me company, but I told her I don't want her traveling and risk getting sick. Hopefully, I can stick this out at least until May, when things might start going back to normal. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the more sort of, oh God, you know.
Yeah.
But then I have another professor, Professor Holly Grether, who's teaching Religious Studies 203, who taught it in the spring. And she, and the title of that course is Buddhist Traditions. So she asked her students as a final exercise to reflect on Buddhism and how Buddhism might help during this time. And several of her students came up with some really great life advice that I would love to sort of connect them with the lonely student who's crying on the phone with her mother. So one of them says, I definitely think of Thich Nhat Hanh's words on remembering your sense of self. In a time of panic, like right now, it is important to understand everything that you can control and everything else that is out of your hands. When we remember this, we start to settle our uneasiness about all that is causing us fear, anger, or anxiety. Another student in that class says, if I go to Target for some clothes, for some clothes shopping, because I think I need to, I'm greedily putting my family and myself at risk. If we can put behind us our wants and our hope for better times, and just enjoy what we have and where we are, then we can more easily avoid those risky times. So you have students who are really taking some great lessons from their courses and applying them to this situation.
Well, and Jan, and we also for this show have actually reached out to some students, and we're going to be kind of mixing their voices in. This is Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. Today we're talking with Jan Zuha about the new COVID archive at the MSU library. We're also checking in with some students at MSU to find out how things are going for them.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to Body Politic.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So we're checking in with some MSU students to see how this fall semester is shaping up in light of COVID. Thanks for talking with us. Could you start by telling us your name and your year in school and your major?
All righty. My name is Jacob. I'm a senior here at MSU, and I'm studying physics and mathematics.
Wow. Okay. Are you from Montana, Jacob?
I am. I'm from Gardner, Montana.
Okay. And I understand you belong to a fraternity?
I am. I'm part of Sigma Phi Epsilon on campus. Yeah.
So you live in, there's a house that you live in with other people?
No, actually. My fraternity does not have a live-in house, but we have a meeting house that's like on Greek Way there.
Okay, so how has COVID affected the Greek life for you?
Well, like I said, since we don't have a live-in house, it's a little different for us that it hasn't affected us as greatly as some of the other fraternities and sororities on campus. The biggest impact is that our community space and our events look a little different. We have to be a lot more careful when using our house. We have to disinfect it regularly. We have to wear a mask. Yes, we just have to be careful all around. The events have to be, like, obviously everyone's wearing masks at our events. We're socially distancing at them too, seating 6 feet apart. Yeah, the general stuff, you know.
Okay, and what about your classes? Are you taking in-person or online or blended classes?
So I have the whole spectrum of what's going on right now. I have some classes that are completely online right now. Uh-huh. I have some of the classes that are doing this this blended thing, which is going all right at the moment. And then I have, I think, only one class that is trying to go fully online right now, which we can do only because we have a small class. And yeah, so what else did you want to know about that? That just like how it's going? Or?
Yeah, I've heard that for some people, blended is actually kind of difficult just in terms of coordinating, like knowing when you're supposed to show up and when you're supposed to be online.
Definitely. I've definitely not shown up to a few days when I was supposed to show up. I haven't shown up on a day that I wasn't supposed to yet.
Oh, good.
But, it is weird to coordinate with, especially when you have like an odd number of classes each week and it alternates. And so like maybe the first day of the next week, you're not like 100% sure if you're supposed to come, or like if we skip a day, you don't really know what's going on the day that,
right,
the next day that comes along. And right. So yeah, there's a little bit of coordinating just because everybody handles it differently. But I have one class that has an even number of classes each week, and that's easy because then I only ever come one day a week and I know which day that is. So yeah, that's kind of the issue with that. But for me, it hasn't been much of an issue as of right now. It had, like I said, there was the one mistake I made, but other than that.
Well, so just in closing, what are your hopes for the rest of the semester?
Well, I don't want to call myself a pessimist, more of like a realist, but I do think that at some point we're going to have to go fully online, just since it seems like what's everyone's doing. My hopes are that we don't for as long as possible. If we're even going to try to be doing this blended thing, I hope we can stretch it out for as long as possible, because I personally do not like online classes, and I know I'm not alone there. But my hope is, though, is that if the situation does turn bad, that we can go online and that we can figure it out all together, you know.
Okay. Well, fingers crossed. Thank you so much, Jacob.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jan, so all the submissions, ultimately, this is going to be not the kind of special collection where you go in and physically look at things. This is going to be online. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, and so it's a born digital collection.
Okay, and when is it going to be available to the public?
We are working right now to translate the files into accessible, stable files so that they can live forever. And that takes some time. You're assigning metadata, you're organizing it intellectually for access, making sure that people with disabilities can listen to or read or hear, you know, however they need to access the materials. So gradually, I suspect these will come up this fall into public access. We are also still taking on board items, of course, and so this work will continue. I'm teaching a Writing in the Archives class with Dr. Kirk Branch this semester, and our students, for instance, are are creating materials for the archive now. So I see this as a living archive, and I have made parts of it accessible, as I said, to certain classes that want to use it. So if people are interested in it, they should contact me, because it isn't ready for prime time, but it's getting there and will come out.
Okay, great. This is Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM. We are talking with Jan Zuha about the new COVID archive. We are also checking in with students at MSU. Hi there, welcome to KGVM. We are reaching out to some MSU students to see how this fall semester is shaping up under COVID. Could you please start by telling us your name and your major and your year in school?
Alrighty. Hello, my name is Taylor Brinkman. I am a junior this year studying psychology on a pre-med track.
Ah, good for you. So are you from Montana?
I am from Montana. I am originally from Missoula. I am fully a Bozeman woman now.
Okay, and now that you are back at MSU, what is the most different thing?
I would say the most different thing for me would be, I guess, the social interactions. I'm a pretty social person, and it's been challenging not being able to just go up to someone and make new friends, I guess.
Huh. What about classes? Are you doing sort of in-person, online, and blended?
Mine is all blended. I guess about each of my classes, I only go to the actual lecture in person one day a week.
Okay.
And the rest of it is online recordings or a live WebEx.
How do you feel about that?
I personally, it's a lot easier to log into a WebEx during the normal scheduled time. My biggest struggle, I guess, with online classes has been professors posting lectures at later times than when your actual class is.
I've heard about that.
It's just hard to find a rhythm and stay on top of things when you're not quite sure when the lecture will be posted.
I've heard other people say that too. So, what is your hope for the rest of the semester?
My hope is just to, I guess, finish strong. It just started, but I'm pretty confident that the semester will go smoothly. The rest, we're kind of working out the kinks right now.
Okay, Taylor. So, well, yeah. We're glad to have you here in the Gallatin Valley. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Jan, I wanted to talk with you a little bit more about the value of collecting stuff in real time. For example, I went, in preparation for this show, I went online and I researched archives on the terrible influenza epidemic of, I think, 1918. And there were primary documents there, but they were all assembled after the fact. So could you talk about the advantage of collecting things in real time?
That's a very interesting question, and I've thought about that. And all of this is happening so fast, and it's thankfully, it's coming, if we can say thankfully, at a time when archives are really aware of the need to include diverse voices and to sort of be much more flexible. And so I think that is a real advantage. I think also that we are not sure right now what is going to be important in the future. I think the goal that we have with this archive is to create something which students decades or hundreds of years in the future can look back at and empathize in some way or another with it. When you are collecting things that are from past events, that's a wonderful thing to do. However, it also is limited in some ways and more highly curated. We are accepting so many different voices and thoughts and, you know, materials that I think that's the interesting advantage of being very present at this time and trying to capture some of it.
Could you just talk briefly about some of the other special collections and archives that are available at the Rennie Library and how people are using them now?
Yes, it's a great place. I have one of the best jobs on earth because I work in the midst of these rare, unique materials. We are, we're MSU Libraries, Archives, and Special Collections. We are interested in gathering materials, primary sources, that will help people understand the history of Bozeman, of Montana, of the larger region. And we include within that topics like agriculture, Native peoples, Yellowstone National Park, the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, environmental activism, daily life, fly fishing, you know, writers' archives like Ivan Doig or Robert Persig. And so in doing that, we have this really great spread of different formats of materials. So you can look at a diary of a person journeying through Yellowstone in the late 19th century before there were cars. So you can, you know, hear about their train rides through that area. And that's just a very special opportunity. You can also read original manuscripts of Ivan Doig's This House of Sky. You can look at historic photos and imagine what life was like on campus at the turn of the last century, the last century prior. Yeah. And I think it's just an often unknown treasure. We have students, especially at the start of a semester, who will wander in and say, what is this place? And we're really happy when they do that, because then, of course, we get to say, oh, well, there's all this good stuff. And they'll come back and they'll look at some things. We also work with classes. And as I said, I'm teaching with Dr. Branch. I am teaching writing in the archives. And we're asking students to just look at collections that they find interesting and start to work through a research project that we will work on at the end of the semester. We also have researchers from afar who come to use important items like the Robert Persig collection or the Ivan Doig collection.
Today, we've been talking with Jan Zuha about the new COVID archive at the MSU Library, and we've been hearing from MSU students about how things are going for them. Welcome to the show. We are calling MSU students to see how this semester is going with all the changes under COVID. Could you please start by telling us your name and your major and your year in school?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Laura. I am a senior here at MSU, and I am actually majoring in both sociology and anthropology.
Oh, I actually love both of those subjects. So are you, you're out of state, is that correct?
I am in state. I'm from Oregon, but my freshman year, because my sister was living here, I was able to live off campus and get residency.
Okay. And then when the university shut down last spring, did you stay in Bozeman or did you go back home?
I stayed here for a little bit, but I have older parents, so I actually did drive back to Oregon to be with them because I just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I get it. So now that you're back, what's different this year, and what, if anything, do you miss from the pre-COVID school days?
That's a good question. Different-wise, so with my majors, especially now being in a more upper division part of it, a lot of my classes depend on discussion because we're reading a lot of texts and books, and we're discussing what we're learning. And so I think one thing that's very different is because, all my classes, by the way, are blended, which means that I'm in class one day a week for each of my classes.
Okay.
And then the rest of it is online on D2L. So
do you actually, can you have discussions online, like on Zoom with small groups, or how does that work?
So my most of my teachers chose not to do discussion online via like WebEx or some type of video chat. We do have discussion posts that we do, which is on D2L, but it's different because it's not that face-to-face interaction that you get with your peers. And You don't get that like here and now moment where you can be with your teacher, you can ask questions to your teacher and get a direct answer, and you kind of just lose that, in a way, creativity that you get when you're discussing with your peers and kind of feeding off of each other and really building the conversation, where in the discussion posts, you kind of lose that conversation that flows really well when you're in person. So that's definitely very different.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what are you seeing as the best possible outcome for this semester?
Possible outcome. Do you mean what will happen with school or just...
Kind of all the above.
Okay.
Where would you like to... What do you hope for this semester? If things go the best possible, how will the semester end for you?
Okay. I don't see MSU fully going back to in-person classes. So I think the best possible way... that this semester could go for me would be if we just kind of continue the way it is. I think it would be very confusing, not just for me, but just from talking to my friends. I think it'd be very confusing if we went online, and even more confusing if we switched back and forth from online to in-person classes. I think the type of person that I am, I like consistency, so I'd rather just stay the way we are. If we could do that.
So get through this semester as it is and then see where we are next semester.
Yeah. I think my hope is that next semester could be a better possible version for, especially since it's my last semester.
Yeah.
In the spring, I would hope that maybe we could be in person, completely in person. But at this point, I'm just happy with the fact that I get to at least be in class once a week and get that discussion environment that I personally really enjoy.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So I think that we're at a very special time in archives where archives are realizing that we need to include more diverse voices. So you might expect to find online more communities of marginalized peoples, native peoples, Black, homeless. And at this point, in terms of the COVID experience, I don't think we're seeing those yet, though I am absolutely certain that that kind of data gathering, that kind of input is being done, because it is a concern currently with archives that we diversify the voices that we profile, that we include in our collections. And so I know that there are communities that are being tapped, there are projects that are being put in place, but I also know that there's a lack of funding too, and all of this takes money. So while certain steps may be taken to gather this kind of material, it may be a while before that comes up on the web, because it takes the funding and it takes personnel. So marginalized communities are often short on both of those things. I know that, for instance, you know, student voices are rare in university archives, really. You are more likely to get sort of famous men of Montana. Mm. And I'm very happy that we are now thinking of students as an important voice beyond just the student newspaper or the student yearbook. So I'm hoping that this adds in the future a dimension to the archive that attracts other students who find themselves hopefully not in the same position, but who want to understand what their historic, you know, counterparts were experiencing.
Jan, thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Join us in the next half hour when we talk with Nina Mondre-Schweppi about the experience of teaching online and about how the Center for Faculty Excellence has been supporting teachers in doing that. This is Body Politic on KGVM Bozeman 95.9 FM.